Tonight, I have nothing special which I want to talk. Of course, there may be many things which I must talk, but I cannot think of anything right now. And I don't know what kind of thing it is. To be told. Maybe better. to answer your question, if you have some question, please ask me. And at first, I will. I want you to make several questions, and I will try to answer for it. Do you have some questions? Hi.
Can you speak of purity and worship?
Purity? And worship. Some other questions?
Could you see the Shihan Plaza?
You
said worship was always in the enlightenment of just so much healing. Could you explain
that?
With practice, it seems that I'm just following the natural flow, but my practice changes often. Sometimes watching breathing, sometimes just seems really involved in whatever I'm doing. And it just seems sort of unnatural just to try to stick with one particular practice.
Okay, that may be enough. most of your question is, excuse me, will you?
Could you speak on the practice of not coming to
So mostly, you know, the your question maybe about practice, shikantaza, or your question is worship and purity of mind. And purity of mind is also something, the idea of purity of mind is how we practice skandhara. Or enlightenment is just candy. That statement is rather you know, maybe blasphemous or something like that. Or to attach to one practice is looks like unnatural. No. Maybe after all, I have to explain how we should practice anyway. The purpose of practice, or how you practice. Natural, you know, not by our practice should be pure, or should be natural. or we should not be our practice should not be encouraged by some candy. To be natural, or to be, to have pure practice, or to have no candy in our practice means, after all, to have deeper practice. And our intention to practice Zazen is not just in terms of pure or impure, or successful or unsuccessful, or natural or unnatural. Those, you know, maybe what you mean is deeper than what you say, you know. But if I take it literally, it looks like very not so deep, you know. When you say, when we say pure, it is more emotional, you know, good and bad practice in its emotional term. Pure or impure is also maybe emotional area, a field, you say, pure or impure. But our practice is more than that. So we do not practice Zazen, whether it is Rinzai or Soto. We do not practice Zazen to experience some special experience. And when we say enlightenment, it does not mean to have some experience, some particular experience. According to Rinzai, no. To whatever it is, whatever the experience may be, if you feel it, or if you understand it, that is not we mean by enlightenment experience. Enlightenment experience is some experience to experience to go beyond you or your surrounding, teaching or Zazen or Zazen practice or enlightenment, or someone who practices Zazen and Zazen in its in some form. Of course, there is no idea of koan practice or shikantaza. Koan practice, you may say that is koan practice, that is shikantaza. But when you experience, enlightenment experience. Actually, there is no koan practice or skantaza. And if you say this is, you know, the enlightenment experience, that is not actually the true experience, enlightenment experience. So, how you practice Zazen is without expecting, you know, some special, without dreaming of something, you know, in your mind, without expecting some special experience. You should devote yourself fully in your practice. When that is difficult, we count our breathing, or we practice koan practice. The koan practice, or counting breathing practice, it's some help, you know. To help our pure practice, we use koan, or counting breathing. We say counting breathing practice. It is not actually. The purpose of counting breathing is not to count your breathing without mistake. Even though we try not to make mistake, but we try not to make any mistake. But the purpose of Zazen is not just to count our breathing without any mistake. To engage in, you know, full practice, we count our breathing. That you can count your breathing without mistake means you are fully engaged in true practice. Do you understand the difference? Just count your breathing and between just to count your breathing and when you are able to when you are counting your breathing without mistake, that is perfect, you know. That is perfect practice. There is some difference. You can count your breathing, you know, even you are, you have a lazy posture like this without mistake from 1 to 10 and go back to 1. But that is not true on Zazen, because your body, you know, activity is not fully engaged in the practice. All of mind and body should be engaged in one full practice. And to help this kind of entire practice of body and mind, we count our breathing. So counting breathing is just, hand drop. Hand drop. You are jaw like this, Not jaw itself. Just, that is just a hand of the jaw, which you may take hold of. Or it is something to some way to encourage your pure practice. That is, counting breathing practice. That is not actual purpose of Zazen, but it is aid of pure practice. If I say so, at the same time you have some mistake. If, that is just aid of practice, it is not so important. So you may make some mistake, but that doesn't matter, But that is not also true. So even though you make best effort in your counting breathing, the purpose of counting breathing practice is not just count. Even though it is not the purpose of practice, you must try to count your breathing without mistake. Do you understand this much, or if necessary I have to explain more completely, but I don't want to explain it so I don't want to give you another problem, in answer, by my answer. Is that okay with you? And pure practice is, the practice. When you practice, when your practice is beyond pure or impure, that is pure practice we mean. And to sit without candle means, also to practice our way beyond our beyond the idea of what is the purpose of Zazen. Even the idea of enlightenment we should not have. Even though once you attain enlightenment, and you should not try to have same experience. That kind of thing, that kind of practice is not right practice. Does it make some sense? Natural, you know, and here it's natural practice, you know. You like the word natural, you know, because you like it so much. I don't agree with your idea of natural, because you like it so much. You stick to the natural, naturalness. Too much. When you stick to it, it is not natural anymore. we you know, our life is not natural, you know. But you know, to do something, you know. Without any idea of what you should do, you know, idea of any particular way, that is maybe naturalness. But natural, we mean, by natural, we mean more than that. Before we discuss naturalness, you know, we should know how unnatural our human being are. We are very unnatural being. We are not natural being. Our way of life is not so natural. Very, you know, twisted and very unnatural. Recently, you know, people are going to extremes. To go to the extreme will be natural, according to your connotation of naturalness. But we don't mean that is natural. Do you think usually what you do is quite natural? We say, you know, to be free from, to obtain a natural order of mind, we should be free from greed, we say. You know, what does it mean? To open our mind fully. So when we, you know, when we are free from greed and anger and foolishness, we will have natural order of mind. That kind of naturalness is our naturalness. Do you understand the difference? Your naturalness to be greedy, to be angry. Whenever you become angry, to be angry. And to eat as much as you want, that is naturalness. But that is not the naturalness we mean. Very different, you know, actually. Naturalness, natural mind or means maybe more flexible mind, you know, without sticking to something rigidly. When our mind is perfect freedom from everything, and when our mind is open to everything, like a mirror, you know, the mirror do not have any particular image on its face always. So it is naturally it will have various images according to the object. That is natural. Doesn't mind, we say stop your thinking, but when we think, you know, to think is to have some picture of something, you know, in terms of long or short, or white or black, you know, that is thinking mind. So when we start to think, our mind will be dead. You know. So when we don't think, you know, our mind is open to various objects. My friend is studying Chinese after finishing his schooling, he started to study. Even he was at school, he was very much interested in Chinese classics about herbs and medicine. And he is still studying, collecting Chinese books about various therapy, or medicine, or herbs. According to Chinese classics, we have two minds. One is here, and the other is here. And this mind is called yang mind, and this is yin mind. Yin and yang, two minds. And this mind is, you know, the center of this mind is branch of this mind. According to, he says, according to some American doctor, it is possible for us it is possible for us to to be alive even this mind of your is cut off from the in mind here. what do you call the center of, you know, nervous system in your I don't know where, but I understand it is some center is here or here. And Chinese people called our neighbor God, gate of God. And this is very important. You know. So I don't know where, but according to Chinese, old Chinese people, we have five minds, which have various different functions. We have five organs here. And we have five functions of mind here, which is more autumnal, or what? Automatic. Yeah, or autonomous, maybe. Like blink of your eyes, you know. When I do like this, maybe this mind is, you know, working. But mostly, this mind is not working when you blink your eyes. Or nothing to do with this mind when our heart beats. Or movement of tummy. And 99% of our nervous activity, it's more autonomous or vegetable-like nervous system. And the center of those vegetable-like nervous system is here. And this is, you know, when we human being became more and more human-like, we started to form some mind here, which is thinking mind. And we started to talk, you know, to communicate, to give some idea to others. Started to have this mind, which is branch of, maybe more fundamental one is this mind. Why did I start to talk about something like this? But anyway, we put more emphasis on here, you know, more original and more basic activity, rather than limited thinking mind, which will, you know, be the disturbance, or which will give some strong disturbance or chain, you know, to the original activity of life. The more you think, you know, the more your mind become busy, you cannot digest, you know, or you will have some trouble in your tummy. So when your mind is open, this mind is more open and natural, you know, in its true sense. you have more active, more natural, good activity of your emotional activity. So, anyway, in our practice, we put more emphasis on to get rid of various to free our physical activities from our mental activity. So physiologically, you know, you can explain why we put emphasis on to attain more, you know, natural function of our mind and body. Usually, you know, this mind has too much authority, you know, to your emotional activity. You should feel this way. Even though you feel in that way, that is not possible. You know, this mind will tear, you know, your emotional activity. That is just superstition, you know. Even though you feel good, that is just superstition. Or it is we have no time to do so, even though you feel sorry for him. We have no time to save him. So in that way, you know, this mind has, in our life, this mind has more dominating power over our activities of life, which is not, you know, so good. So naturalness usually is not true naturalness, you know. Maybe naturalness of your mind, maybe, mind only, which is not so natural. In its true sense. Do you have some other questions?
You mentioned some practices that we could use in our daily practice besides God and not, which might help us rid ourselves of this thinking or lessen the distance.
Although I said, you know, in that way, I rather put emphasis on, right now, put emphasis on more emotional activity rather than thinking mind, you know. But it does not mean thinking mind is not, you know, it's bad. You know. It is important too. So in our daily life, you know, if we know this point, it will be help. But actually, the best way is to practice Zen and to have this kind of naturalness in your this kind of naturalness which you have in your practice. Should be extended to your everyday life, you know, usual activities. That is, you know, what we try to do more. But that is more, you know, that will be the I think, you know, even just to know, you know, this kind of thing actually doesn't help so much, you know. Even though you know it, you know, even though you know you have a lot of, you know, money in your bank, it doesn't help so much, you know. When you actually use it, it will be a great help. But just to know something about it, this kind of teaching or explanation, is not much help, actually. So, best thing is to have actual, you know, practice to control your thinking mind. And to free your everyday life from thinking mind. And just to use your thinking mind when it is necessary. That is, you know, that is important. But how you do it is not just to know this kind of thing. And only way and to do it is to have actual power to do it. And how to obtain this kind of power is practice Zazen. So, you know, when you practice Zazen, that is why you must have strong determination or confidence in your practice. The way you practice Zazen is not should not be like to read some book, you know, to find out something good, something good, you know, or to be fascinated some beautiful experience. This is very, you know, shallow. And your determination is not strong enough. So when you practice Zazen, you must have strong confidence, like whatever happened to me, I will not stop my Zazen. This kind of... So you you should be dead on your practice. That kind of attitude is necessary. It is not just to think something or to find out something.
Do work that involves thinking, we can do work that involves teaching language to children, do work which is nothing but physical work. However, it's very tiring. And all of these different kinds of work, it all takes some consideration, it seems. And lately I've been giving it quite a bit of consideration. And sometimes I don't really know what kind of work would be most beneficial for a frame of mind which would be good for Dawson. I wanted to ask if there are certain types of work or employment that should be avoided in certain kinds of
Yeah.
more beneficial.
Yeah. Now it is, of course, better to choose your work. But I think there will be two kinds of work. It is just physical work, without using, your mind so much. And the other is opposite, like office work or counting something, calculating something. This kind of work is just mental work, in which you cannot, practice koan study, you cannot practice koan study for any accounting something. But if that is just physical work, you can do it. But mostly, I classify it in this way, but most work is not purely mental or physical. Maybe mixture of both. So, I think best way is to be concentrated on what you do, what you are doing. That is mostly we apply our practice in our everyday life, not to be concentrated on what you do. Maybe most work is more mental than physical. Don't you think so? Excuse me? I don't know which is better. Physical one is also difficult, and you will be very much tired of, physically tired. And it is not so good if you are tired out too much. I don't think you can practice zazen after your work. So even though you practice doesn't, it will not help, you know, immediately. You know. little by little, you will gain the power, but it will not help, you know, like to drink some honey, you know. When I cough, if I take some water, it helps a lot, but doesn't will not help so well immediately. But, you know, it will, what you gained in zazen will not, you know, go away. That is advantage of our practice. Our practice make your mind clear, you know, and make your physical and emotional activity natural and strong. And make your character more, you know, like this, more natural and so you will give a good feeling to others. This is very important too. When you give good feeling to others, at the same time, you will have good feeling too. Do you agree with that?
What is the place of love and devotion in our practice?
Love and devotion in our practice. Both love and devotion is very important. But no love or devotion should be defined. It is not love or devotion in its usual sense. It is not so, you know, it is not polystarp, love or devotion. We do not believe in some level, you know, love, devotion, or some beautiful words. That is just paper, picture. So, we are not so interested in just picture. What it means is, you know, more important. Love or devotion is must be something which could be recognized by others rather than to have some confidence in it. Even though you say, I love you, you know, or I love practice. But if practice doesn't say, you know, or thank you, it doesn't mean much. You know. Maybe that is your love, but it doesn't help. It doesn't mean so much for others. You know. So again, naturalness is important. Something which comes out from the source of your character. that is more important things than some idea or some beautiful words. Hi. I couldn't clearly follow you, but then, you know, I cannot say, you know, our way is like this or like that, you know. Because we don't like to say this is Zen or that is Zen or this is the true way or that is not. but we tonight I have no time to explain it, but we have some formula, you know, to avoid from going to extreme, you know, and to have always right judgment about things you see, about what you do, or about what you want to do. There's some, you know, not teaching, but some way to observe things more effectively and more clearly. To know what is wrong with it, you know, with your activity, or with what you did, or what you want to do. So usually, you know, I'm sorry to say that, but when you ask questions, you know, you want to know exactly what is then, you know. But we don't want to say, you know, what is then. Because something which was said will create some problem. Hi.
My question really wasn't what is then, it's more just how to live.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's simple if I give you an example. If I am angry at something,
uh-huh.
if I completely suppress my my anger.
Mm-hmm.
But if it stays in me,
mm-hmm.
it may be bad for me. It may
yeah.
be very bad for my life.
Yes.
For my practice.
Yes.
If I express it, I get rid of it.
Uh-huh.
I may hurt somebody else.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what am I going to do?
I think it is more harmless to express it, you know, than to suppress it. But at that time, you must know what is anger, you know. Anger is not something which, you know. Actually, we cannot be angry with anything, you know. Actually, when you are angry at it, something wrong with it, you know, with you yourself, you know, or your understanding of you about something. But to show, you know, I am so foolish, you should be angry. Not to, you know, stop someone, you know, to do something, or, you know, to suppress something, but to show your foolishness, you should be angry. Oh, I am sorry, I must be angry. Then it will be help you yourself and others too. So at that time you are free from anger actually, and you being angry, you will be helped, you know, because you don't suppress your feeling. We have precepts. Don't be angry, you know. And Dogen Zenji's explanation to it is, you know, anger will be the beautiful cloud in the sky, or beautiful, you know, waves of water when the sun rises or the moon rises. You will have, you know, water in the sea, in the water, moon in the on the water. The anger is something like that. So, according to him, there is no need to suppress it. Because it is so beautiful. But when you say it is so beautiful, it is not so beautiful. When you just angry, you know, like a boy, like a naughty boy, it may be very beautiful. That kind of humbleness is more important. And if we practice our way, you understand how difficult it is to be humble. So maybe better to be just honest. Whatever you do, you know, we should know that. Whatever you do, or whatever you did is not perfect. So you should say, oh, excuse me, whatever you do, excuse me. If a master slapped his student, and you should say, he should say, excuse me. To himself, excuse me. But usually, you know, after you hitting someone, and you should kick him and toss him, and he will be tired out. That is not so good. Some other question?
Suggested to us that as students we should try to steal our teacher's way.
Did I say so? No. I have no idea of, you know, being stolen my wife. Okay.
Would you please explain how we commit that crime?
How? Do you want to commit that crime?
To steal your way.
Uh-huh. Way?
Your way.
Oh, I thought you said why. How I should steal my teacher's wife? Where? <I don't> know. I shall be very glad to be stolen my way. How you steal teacher's way, maybe. Not difficult, but may take pretty long time. But even though you are, if you are patient enough, or if you like him, naturally you will eventually you will steal his way completely. That is true. It happens in that way, even though you don't try to imitate his way, or even though you hate to, you know, to steer his way. It is quite, I don't know why it happens in that way. So, you know, to be a teacher is awful, you know. Don't know, because we don't know who is stealing, or who or when, you know, stealing our way. So it is you should, you reminded me an awful thing. I was almost forgotten. And students will learn something a teacher, you know, want him not to steal or learn. If you know his teacher is forgetful, his student may be forgetful easily, quite easily. But even though his teacher is patient, you know, it may be difficult. It may take a long time when his students become patient as his teacher. So something what you know teacher want his student to steal something, he may not steal it. So we say, Dogen Zen said, we must practice hard for our descendant, for our disciples, you know. Not for himself, but for, if we know how important it is to have good disciple, then he must practice very hard. That is very true. When we come to this point, you know, our practice is not just for us. Our practice is just for disciples or for others rather than for ourselves. So when we have real relationship of teacher and disciple, that relationship is much deeper than the relationship between your children and you, or your wife and you or husband and you. It is much deeper than that. Thank you very much.